Welcome to Lessons in Life and Love with Rihanna Milne, where we show you how to have the positive mindset for success in all life areas. It's time to have the life you desire and the love you deserve.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Lessons in Life and Love podcast. I'm your host and global life and love coach, Rihanna Milne. I'm all about helping you transform your life in all areas into one that you're passionate about, and to help you to attract and have the love that you deserve. I'm on a mad mission to help change the way the world loves. So I'm all about teaching you how to have emotionally healthy, evolved, and conscious relationships, and how to avoid toxic, painful ones that are just too prevalent today. So at any time that you are struggling, just reach out to me on my website, rihannamilne.com, under the Contact Me page, and tell me your story. Or better yet, sign up for a Life and Love Transformation Discovery Session, where I will spend 2 hours with you to help get to the root of your concerns and issues and start you on a path to healing and transformation. Let's get you started on creating the life that you desire and having the love that you deserve. Okay, love angels and transformers, let's get started. Today, I have a very special and fabulous guest. He's a mentor of mine, a mentor professor in a topic that you are going to love. His name is Ross Rosenberg. He has a master's of education, is a licensed professional counselor, and a certified addictions counselor as well. He's a global thought leader and renowned expert in codependency, narcissism, narcissistic abuse, and trauma treatment. He is the Self-Love Recovery Institute CEO and owner and primary contributor. In addition, Ross is renowned for his expert psychotherapy, public speaking, and being an educator and an expert witness for courtroom situations. His pioneering contributions to the mental health field include sweeping theoretical and practical updates and revisions on codependency, which he renamed Self-Love Deficit Disorder. Ross's global success is illustrated by his 27 million YouTube video views and 275,000 subscribers. His Human Magnet Syndrome book, the one he was working on when I met him in class in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, has sold over 165,000 copies and is published in 12 languages. It has been an Amazon bestseller since its 2013 publication. I'm so honored to bring you this man who was instrumental in helping me in the way I present my programs, my courses, which is finding the problems, the solutions, and helping people change in a very down-to-earth, realistic, and effective way. So welcome to the show, Ross Rosenberg. Hi, Ross. I'm so happy to have you here and to see you again. It's been many, many years since you were a teacher of mine in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And for our listeners, even though I have a triple master's in psychology, so much of it to me was theory. And I'm there, teach me what I need to know. And I loved Ross's direct style of this is what's going on. This is why there's the problem. And this is how to solve it. And he was one of the first teachers that really stuck out in my mind. I've been following his career ever since. So I'm trying to trace back when I came to you in Cherry Hill, because you were working on the Human Magnet Syndrome back then.
It was 2012.
Okay.
The first edition was 2013. So if I was working on it, it had to be 2012. In the middle of my national training tour.
Okay, great. In 2011, I had had a love trauma and went to seven therapist friends to get some answers. No one had answers why this was happening. And my partner said, I don't know why I sabotage everything I love. And I said, I don't know either. And that's what sent me into the research. And then I saw your course. I'm like, maybe I can get some answers from this. So we have a brilliant man in front of me who's very cool and very down to earth. And I know you're going to love this podcast today. So let's get to it. Ross, I'm going to ask you a few questions here that I think really help our listeners piece some bridges between childhood trauma and love relationship trauma.
A couple things. First of all, thank you for inviting me. I've been very excited about this because I guess I can say this. Not every podcast I'm invited on is someone whose knowledge is similar to mine, whose experience is similarly deep and whose respect has been earned globally. There's a lot
Thank
of Johnny
you.
come latelys on who profess to be experts on YouTube or podcasts, and they leverage their own story as their area of expertise, but you're the real thing. So it's with great
Oh.
pleasure I'm here, and I want to thank you for that.
Thank you, my mentor. Thank you so
Well,
much.
it
And
goes
I loved your
both
style,
ways.
and I'm like, I'm doing it the same way. And in 2012, I was starting my research on childhood trauma. So that's why when I heard your breadth of education and research, I'm like, oh my God, this is making so much sense to me. So thank you again for everything. And here we go with our questions.
Let's do
Okay.
it.
Ross, can you explain what the relationship compatibility continuum means and how it qualifies the unconscious and reflexive attraction between two people in a relationship? And just a side note for our listeners, he uses a graphic which explains why people are drawn to a certain opposite type of attractive partner, not just codependencies and narcissists. So I'll let him take it from there. Addressing why people stay in unhappy, dysfunctional relationships despite feeling lonely, frustrated, angry, abused, and why they tend to repeat their dysfunctional relationship patterns.
So this is tongue in cheek. So what you're asking me is to talk about my Human Magnet Syndrome book, but I have to connect the continuum and the theory to something first. So let me set some background. So the Human Magnet Syndrome, that the theory basically says, it uses a metaphor of a dance couple. The leader of a dance who loves dancing wants to find someone who loves dancing just as much, but is a follower and who just intuitively knows what the other person wants and does it. And when they come together, there's an excitement, there's a match, it feels right, and they dance great. So, as a metaphor, it represents the opposite attraction of the pathological narcissist, someone with a personality disorder, who is the needer, and the codependent, who is the giver. And they naturally, through unconscious forces, are attracted to each other. And there is a great amount of information about why that happens in my upcoming book, but it'll suffice to say it's like a magnetic attraction, because North Pole and South Pole, plus and minus, they come together. But if a codependent is on a date with another codependent, North Pole, they go repulsion. So when it is the same, there's this feeling of no chemistry. But I wanted to come up with a scientific black and white way to prove the human magnet syndrome. So what I first started was I came up with an operational definition. It's like in research, if you're going to study something, you have to start the research by saying, this is what we're studying, and it's exactly that. And so I came up with a simple, but I believe profoundly powerful definition for codependency. It is a person who's codependent if they give most, if not all, the love, respect, caring, trust, and protection in a relationship with hopes of getting it reciprocated or being mutual, and it is not. It's because it's a narcissist. And a narcissist, very generally speaking, is needs all of that and has no intention. So if you look at codependency from the simplistic point of view, now, I also have 325 pages more on it.
There's a lot of stages in between.
Oh, absolutely. But just the basic definition, codependents give all the love, respect, caring, trust, and protection with hopes of getting it back, and it does it in a state. Then there are personality types, but that's not your question. So I wanted to create a mathematical way of demonstrating it. So I created this continuum. And I came up with some theoretical construct or theoretical explanations. On one side of the continuum is someone whose relationship orientation is geared or oriented towards giving to others more than to themselves. Okay, so that would be called the other's relationship orientation. The other relationship side of the continuum is taking and needing most everything for themselves. So if we look at that in increments of horrible to good, at the very end of the continuum on the left side, what is the worst? What would you call someone who is pathologically, historically in relationships where they give all this love, respect, caring, trust away, and they don't get it back? They're codependent. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to show that not everyone's a codependent, just the people on the far end of the continuum. So on the other side of the continuum, what do you call someone who needs all of it, has no empathy, remorse, and won't give anything back? Well, that is someone who is a pathological narcissist, someone with narcissistic personality disorder. So at the very ends of this continuum are the very worst manifestations of a others-oriented rotation and a self. In the middle, because it's a continuum and it's based upon the distribution of love, respect, caring, trust, and protection. And I want to say that again. The continuum measures the distribution of LRCTP. Zero then is what I call this mythical balanced person who gives as much of it as they take it. But in reality, you can be healthy and be a negative one, which is on the other side, a negative two, and give more compassion and empathy, but still be healthy. And on the other side, the soft side, you can need more of that and still be healthy. So what we have is a gradations, and we can go from outside in of severe dysfunction to mild to moderate problems to healthy and balanced. And so only codependency is used for the negatives at the ends. So I gave it number, but the big middle is zero. At the end of the other side is negative five, and it goes negative 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And on the other side is the pathological narcissist plus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So to demonstrate the human magnet syndrome mathematically, there has to be a zero sum balance. Negative five plus positive five is zero. See, that's the extent of my math. So whenever there is a zero, there is compatibility. If you're in treatment with me or with you, and you were this negative five codependent, and you move closer to the middle, you don't get zero anymore, and the relationship becomes unstable. So, in a nutshell, the continuum represents the definition of codependency about the distribution of love, respect, care, and trust. It explains why people come together and are compatible, but it does it with simple math.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's so interesting. And this is why change is uncomfortable for so many people. They're
Absolutely.
comfortable in this zone that they're used to, that early developmental patterns happen, so many before the age of five, and then the second shift was before age of 11. All these behavioral norms happened, but you're trying to change those personalities and become closer to the center.
Exactly.
But it's possible.
So you and I talked about before we started how we were very fortunate and we have this gift where we can see things according to many theories at once. So what you were talking about is attachment theory and developmental theory. I want to say also systems theory is that all relationships resist change. So you can have a good change, like all of a sudden someone wins the lottery and that throws everyone off and breaks apart a family, or you can have a bad change or that person becomes an alcoholic and goes to treatment. Or any change just throws a system off. Just by the change, the narcissist is going to be uncomfortable.
Exactly. And this is why I'm a CCTP certified clinical trauma professional. So that's
Yes.
why in all my training, they say it takes at least 6 months to change these behavioral norms so that it's a healthier way of being 24/7. You're going from unconscious kind of ruling your life, your behavioral patterns and norms, to a full conscious awareness and a healthier choice and behavioral norms that are more functional in your relationships. So when you have a couple, there's two people going through the change, which makes it double challenging, right? And fighting those norms that they grew up with.
Well, and if those two people are a codependent and a pathological narcissist who has a personality disorder, that relationship is guaranteed not to work, no matter what, because The codependent has the capacity to grow, heal, and move toward zero. A person with a personality disorder does not, because of the nature of the disorder. So if you are working with people that don't have that personality disorder, of course, they both can work together for a more positive result.
Yeah, there's usually one that's a lot more resistance to change, or they're like, I'm
Yeah.
refusing to go to coaching. And that's always the narcissist. They don't think anything's wrong with them. It's always about you, you know, pointing it at the partner, and they resist the change so much. Okay. You have renamed codependency or attachment trauma to be self-love deficit disorder, or SLDD. Can you explain why, and what are some of your long-term solutions that help people through codependency issues?
Wow, I'm going to break that into two questions or a couple of
Okay.
questions. First of all, I renamed codependency to self-love deficit disorder, not trauma. I'll explain the difference. From the very beginning of my career in 1989 or something like that. Yeah, I know I'm old.
Just like me. Yeah.
Only, don't
We're
tell
not
it. We,
telling.
we should, we're not telling. At any rate, I never liked the term codependency, and I was. And, but, you know, I read all these books, Codependent No More. I read the books from the best people, and I still was falling in love with narcissists, marrying them and divorcing them. And no one understood the problem. And so that propelled me eventually to write The Human Magnet Syndrome. So after I wrote The Human Magnet Syndrome, I kept saying, I got to come up with a name for codependence. I got to change it. And I just waited, you know, because usually things just bubble up in my head. And one day it came up. I almost actually fell off the chair. I was so excited. Self-love deficit disorder. Because if you diagnose someone who's depressed, they have major depression disorder. If you diagnose someone who's anxious, they have generalized anxiety disorder. So the disorders have the problem in it. Well, the problem of codependency is not, you're not dependent on each other. That's all BS. It doesn't work. Every codependent I know has problems with self-love, severe problems. And at the most simplistic way, it is the core of the problem. And if you somehow can recognize it, change it in a way that actually is fluidly lasting, that's how you cure the problem. So
right.
I named codependency self-love deficit disorder, and the codependent as a self-love deficient, SLDD, SLD. But more than that, I pretend sometimes I'm things I'm not, like a medical doctor, a researcher, and I just put on their hats. And so like a researcher and a medical doctor, I thought, okay, well, I have the name, I have the explanation, I have to develop treatment, which I did, which we'll talk about later. And I have to have the name for the cure. With effective treatment, so if you solve self-love deficit disorder, the self-love deficiency goes away permanently. So,
right.
So when someone is cured through my program or perhaps your program, they become self-love abundant, and that is permanent, which is why I'm going to call my next book, after the one I'm going to be publishing in a couple months, The Codependency Cure. So self-love
Love it.
deficit disorder for codependency, and the end goal is self-love abundance.
Yeah, that's excellent. It makes so much sense too. I do a lot of self-love work. The thoughts in the head, or, you know, as Dr. Daniel Amen would say, the ants, automatic negative thoughts that keep going on in our head to ruin how we feel about ourselves, our relationships, our life situation. So absolutely increasing the self-love and being more consciously aware of your choices, your boundaries, and practicing that through time. It does work in healing the situation, for sure, the codependency.
We have to take a brief break, but we will be right back. You're listening to Lessons in Life and Love with your host and global coach, Rihanna Milne. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like you have tried everything? Self-help books, therapy, relationship summits, retreats, online courses, podcasts. But you still struggle with toxic love, attracting narcissistic partners, ongoing anxiety, depression, codependency, love addiction, stress, moodiness, lack of hope, feeling stuck in your career, and you just can't seem to get love right. It's time to heal your unconscious behavioral patterns caused by unhealed childhood trauma. I'm Rihanna Milne, the love trauma recovery expert and certified life and love coach, who helps thousands around the world. And I can help you too. I specialize in helping adults heal from unconscious childhood and love relationship traumas, emotional triggers, and dysfunctional behavioral patterns, which have been impacting them negatively in life, love, or business, to transform and create the life they desire and to have the love they deserve. Talk to me today at RhiannaMilne.com and get the free ebook below to learn more.
We're back, and this is Rihanna Milne, your global life and love coach.
You cannot cure a problem. If you're a medical doctor, if you don't know what it is, if you don't understand bacteria, no one was able to cure an infection. People could not solve this problem until people like you and I came around and we defined it in discernible, clear ways. And that promoted someone to be able to cure it, to solve it. So I appreciate all the work that you do because you are very good at specifying, quantifying, and in a very down-to-earth way.
Very down-to-earth. Yeah. I don't go into psychobabble at all.
No, that's my job.
Yeah, I think it was my frustration in college. It's like, what am I going to use this for? Just give me the answers I need. So I was very solution focused and let's work on what are the issues? Let's define them. Let's get busy and cure them. And I came up when I was doing my own research, I can't change what I don't know or understand. And that's when I was trying to figure out, why do I keep falling in love with these types of people that break my heart? And it was my childhood pattern norms. And childhood trauma is nobody's fault. We're just a product of our environment. You know, as kids, we don't know what's really going on. And we find our own ways to survive and work through difficult situations. But I remember feeling bullied and not good enough. I remember my dad not being home, even though he was off working as CIA, FBI, you know, but there was that abandonment thing, which I call no fault abandonment. He was supporting the family. He didn't think he was doing anything wrong towards the family. It was so interesting doing all the research and it's like, wow, this makes so much sense. And that's why I have to take it to the world. And I just like the down to earth approaches that we both have. So the everyday person say, I get it. I understand it now. Yes, I want the help to recover from all this.
One of the common and primary limitations of the psychotherapy world is a therapist who is helping people on a subject, a problem that they have and they don't understand a problem. You can't solve a problem if you don't understand it. I mean, you know, if someone has ADHD like me, you can't give me cognitive behavioral treatment. You could, but it won't work. In this case, I need medicine, you know? So with your explanations and my explanations, they come from our own battle, our own journey, our own healing attempts to solve something that is amorphous. It doesn't have a name. And we figured it out. And because of that, we created our own systems of thought, explanations, and theories. And I love what you do because it comes from you. And that makes the very best healer, practitioner, and therapist. And
thank
of course,
you so much.
I have
thank
the same
you so
theory.
Much. Yes,
and
you do.
I have different explanations for it, but it doesn't matter. Well, it would matter if yours were wrong, but yours are not. But if we operate from that point of view, we can be even a better help to the people, better resource. So I'm grateful.
I find that to be true, Ross. Yeah, because people say, I've been to 7 therapists and I can't get a hold on what I'm doing wrong. Like they just, it's like way out here, woo-woo, you know? And when I was coming out with this information, I had someone who was quite accomplished and a doctor of psychology and says, you're making this up. It's not in the DSM-IV manual, which is the psychological manual for therapists where we have to code people to codependent or depressed or whatever. And I said, no, it's not, but it should be. And I just kept going on, you know. So I was called crazy when I was coming out with this, but it's like, that's okay. Inventors same, often are.
It happened to me every so often in the beginning. Some intellectual would stand up and, you know, where's your research? Where's it? And all I would say over the years is, does it not make sense? I very, very rarely get anyone telling me this is BS. So as long as it makes sense and there's a-
And your treatments are working.
method to it. Yeah. So one day science will validate your stuff and my stuff. Until then, we're just going to kick some butt and just keep doing what we do.
That's maybe it, kick baby. Some butt's a little watch aggressive. Me.
I take back the kick butt, but I'm a little bit on the assertive side. There you go.
I love it. So non-doctorial. down to earth, wanting to help people heal from this. That's who we are. Okay. Yes. So I love when you say, once an SLD tastes self-love, they will develop a lifelong appetite for it. That's your quote. So can you explain what that means?
So the self-love recovery program, which is 11 stages, it's based upon the understanding and the specific explanation of all the pieces of self-love deficit disorder. It's an addiction. It's connected to attachment trauma, childhood trauma. It's connected to core shame. There's so many things that explain it, which I write in my book.
I love the 11 stages.
Mm-hmm. Human magnet syndrome idea. And then I created a treatment program by steps, which was highly influenced by a guy who we all studied in college and grad school, Eric Erickson, and on his developmental stages. Every stage has a task that you have to complete, that if you complete it, you're ready to go to the next stage. And if you don't complete it, you stay frozen in that. My stages similarly need to be completed, then you go to the next one.
And that's great.
Once you move through the program, which resolves, neutralizes the cause of it, which is the attachment trauma, which is you can't get to by direct conversation because it's stored in the part of your brain, like PTSD is stored, where it's dissociated, it's hidden. And that's why 99% of most therapists don't know how to get to it, let alone what to do with it. It's through this program, we get to it, we neutralize, resolve the trauma, and then that becomes this huge healing moment. And then somewhere around stage 8, there's no more self-love deficit, and you're self-loving. It doesn't mean you're happy and everything's good, but you don't walk around with the core shame and the trauma. That is when it never goes backwards. At that point, you can't become a self-love deficient person anymore because the reasons for it have been neutralized. So that is why I say once you get a taste of self-love abundance because of this treatment program, you'll never go back because you don't hate yourself. You're not overwhelmed by shame. You're not overwhelmed by the tethers. I think of an octopus and its squeeze on you from a part of your brain that you don't even know. And so self-love abundance is infectious. It grows upon itself because there's nothing holding it back.
I love that. In Buddhism, we call this the earth school. So we are meant to be challenged. Challenges will come up, but you're just approaching everything so differently. And I use the example of COVID. And in America, it's like, okay, everyone has to stay inside for 30 days. So I asked the listener, how did you respond? Oh no, I can't work. Oh my God, I got to get groceries. All this dark side, negative fear-based actions, thoughts, activities. My first thought is, wow, I have 30 days to do something really creative. And I wrote 2 more books. You know what I mean? So it's just so automatic once you get it. We're saying the same thing in 2 incredibly neat, different ways.
Once you get this,
and I use a rainbow, once you're over the other side of the rainbow, this is the learning curve. I'm getting rid of the negative norms that don't serve you. But once you're on the other side, there's a pot of gold and you'll never go back. It's so interesting that we have the same philosophy on that, just said in 2 different ways. I'm going to
add to yours, if I may. So there is a chasm, an empty abyss in the middle of one side of the rainbow to the other. So once you get to the other side of the rainbow, not only do you not want to get back, but you can't get back. So it's my visualization of your brilliant rainbow metaphor.
Oh, thanks. Well, I have a question. Once you have this self-love and confidence and love of life and feeling amazing, on your continuum line, is that like a +1 or a +2? Because you're not codependent anymore. So where would that fall when you're feeling terrific?
This is interesting, Rihanna. You met me at the very beginning of when I kind of put this all together.
Yeah.
So 12 years later, my thinking about things have progressed. I still hold to my relationship compatibility continuum and the numbers, like -5 and 4, 3. And to me, -2 and -1 are healthy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being generous and loving and compassionate. But if you give some of generosity, but also take care of your own self. So the continuum is a basic understanding of how it works. I look at it as, from the numbers point of view, -2 and -1 and 0 are healthy. +2, +1, and 0. So you can be someone who likes to talk on podcasts, who enjoys bragging about their stuff, but also can be in a relationship and take care of someone. So the reason I came up with the continuum was not to pathologize everyone, because right now everyone thinks if you're selfish, you're a narcissist. No, that's not true. That's why whenever I use the word narcissist, I use pathological narcissist, and I am specifying someone who's the +5, who's got a personality disorder. So I don't know if I answered your question.
You did. Yes. Okay, you're saying from the -2 to the +2, anywhere towards 0 is a healthy range. And even fluctuate in between there a little bit. Sometimes you're the giver more. Sometimes you take a little more in that relationship or partnership, I should say.
And in my current thinking, it's much more fluid. There's a point in which there's a transition from self-love deficiency to self-love abundance. So I look at it as levels and deepness of self-love abundance. That doesn't have numbers associated to it, but people love the number idea, so I keep it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Are you single and ready for a love relationship? If you're in a committed relationship or marriage, does your partner have any red flags you should be concerned about? Do you think they or you have childhood trauma? Just go to RihannaMilne.com and do the free love test. For a limited time, you can also get an introductory offer on a Life and Love transformation discovery session and assessment to address your results and current concerns. We'll get to the bottom of what's keeping you stuck in life, love, or business. Learn how to move forward to reach your dreams. Get your free love test and Life and Love discovery session at RihannaMilne.com. That's RihannaMilne.com. I look forward to meeting you and seeing how I can help you best.
Here's another one of your mental health services that you've given the world. It's called Hitch. HITCH, Trauma Integration Treatment Method. Can you explain what that is and how does that work?
So I graduated Boston University in grad school in 1988 and got my first job in Boone, Iowa. And I remember a year into the job, I was with a client named Kathy. And I did something. I don't know what I did, but all of a sudden she was talking like a child, crying, and remembering her abuse. And I didn't know what the heck was going on. And she didn't come back for 3 weeks. And I was nervous. And she came back and said she was depressed and she thought about suicide. And I said, WTF. And so I said, I did something. And back in that time, there wasn't much out on that. So eventually, I figured out what I was doing and used whatever was available. And over time, I developed it so that it wouldn't be dangerous and I would control the parts that were uncontrollable. And I started to realize that I can't do this with a person with a personality disorder because it's dangerous. So I was using it before it had a name, before Besser van der Kolk and Peter Levine, who are like icons and the gods of trauma. So I don't want to put myself up with them, but I do want to say I had the idea probably before them. Mm-hmm. Okay. Double message, I'm sure. But at any rate, eventually things progressed, you know, human magnet syndrome. And then I came up with the self-love deficit disorder idea. And then I created my treatment program. I realized that because I created this pyramid that explained what SLDD is. And at the bottom of it, it's attachment trauma. And that is a developmental stunting and trauma, abuse, neglect, or abandonment caused because one of your parents is a pathological narcissist. And I don't see it as benign as other people see it, that they are not good people. From attachment trauma, developmentally comes core shame. It's the fundamental belief that you're unlovable, inherently bad, or broken. From core shame comes pathological loneliness, which is this bone aching existential pain that you feel horrible, and it only goes away if you're in a relationship. And every codependent I know, every SLD I know, will tell you that in between relationships, they experience that pain. From the pathological loneliness is SLDD or codependency addiction. And it's this compulsion to get rid of the pain that could only go away in a relationship. And that is why any SLD you talk to, they can't deal with the loneliness. And so they go back out in the dating field and like crack cocaine.
And they're bringing the same issues over and over again, which leads to RRS, relationship repetition syndrome.
Exactly.
Yeah, falling for, or we say same person, different face. It's like the personality type over and over again.
Yeah, I've been saying that for years. My therapist said that to me. You got a broken picker, and every woman, the problem, Ross, is you fall in love with the same woman with a different face. But at the top of the pyramid is codependency. It's everything you do, I call it, that is codependent. So the world has been understanding codependency as the very top of the pyramid. So with that understanding, that is SLDD, that's codependency. So in these 11 stages, I go through different elements of the problem, and towards the latter half, my clients are ready for the most positively consequential change in their life that they have to be emotionally prepared for. Because I learned throughout my years of experience, if I do it too soon, they're not ready. If you think of a doctor, we'll go open heart surgery, a doctor will not operate if they don't think you'll survive the operation. Although that's a lot more dire than mine. I can't do that type of almost psychologically invasive treatment unless they have a foundation of self-love abundance or they're moving in that direction. And so the attachment trauma neutralization is, I call it technique HITCH, healing the inner trauma child. A mistake that many people make, and I want to tell everyone who's listening, don't call me if you want HITCH treatment, because I don't do that. I specialize in people who have narcissistic abuse, who keep falling in love with narcissists, who are SLDs or codependents. And eventually in the treatment, we get to that.
I see. And that's where I start. I start with assessing what was the childhood trauma piece.
Yeah.
How is it affecting you today? And then let's heal that.
Right.
It's like me. I could not send somebody out to date right as they meet me. And my program is dating to mating, but they have to, part A is go through the trauma healing, the love trauma, the childhood trauma, recognize the patterns, break the patterns, become fully consciously aware of what they say, do, text, write, practice that.
Dating to
mating. And then they're ready to go out and date. Now they're doing conscious dating, we call it, where they're actually asking the questions that they gather the information. Is this the right person for me to move forward with? Do I see a future vision here? Do we have the same morality, the same quality about ourselves and life and passions?
So you have a similar developmental theory and techniques that build upon each other. I love your dating, mating thing. I have a rule that no one likes. I call it no sex, no romance, no intimacy rule. Because if we go through the pyramid, and then you understand the order of the stages, the addiction is huge. It is. I'm actually a certified addiction counselor.
And so am I. Okay.
So that's probably why we're able to put it all together.
They're addicted to getting that outside of themselves instead of the real love by themselves, for themselves.
They have so much shame and loneliness, and they want a drug to take it away. And the relationship is the drug. And because of the human magnet syndrome, they always pick the narcissist. So I say 6 months, but what they don't know, don't tell anyone. it's usually longer. But once people are fully in it and they start building self-love abundance, they don't want to date because they don't want anyone to come in. And that is why one of my later stages is bringing self-love abundance into a self-love abundant mutual relationship. So everything to me has like an order. And so that's my, long-winded explanation of the Hitch program. And if you want a copy of it, I have a 6-hour seminar. Of course, yours is for free.
Thank you. And I will continue to quote you and get it out to my people because your work is so fabulous.
And anyone listening to your podcast can get a 35% discount. And just remind me at the end of our conversation to send you that information.
Absolutely. Well, you're going to tell them how to get to your website and everything else, but we have to go into your newest work first. And that I wanted to mention just a little bit. It's a new book and topic called The Codependency Revolution, Essential Updates. Some of the chapters that Ross will be speaking on, his history of codependency, the new codependency, codependency traits and personality types. That one should be fabulous. Codependency No More, taking the shame out of the name and talking about a revolution. So this is coming out when, Ross? You want to say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, right now I hired a designer to do the cover and interior design, and that'll take a month. And as soon as that baby's done, it's up on Amazon. So I say between a month and a half, and then I'm going to create a workbook. I wanted to do a third edition, and I was going to call it the 10th anniversary. Because I did the first one 2013, the second one 2018. And as I was writing it, I was thinking so much of my thinking has progressed and changed. I was not writing about the human magnet syndrome anymore, even though that information is included. I was on a campaign to show the world everything they know about codependency is just wrong, broken. And it's been broken at the very beginning in the 1970s. And so I decided this was going to be my masterpiece. My first two books took 11 months each to write. This one took 4 years to write. Oh my God.
Wow.
I used to have dark brown hair. Actually,
make sure I know about it and I will promote it for you. I will promote it on my Amazon list of suggested books as well.
Well, thanks. Because I've been trying to get rid of codependency, the name, for a while. Once and for all, I am going to write a book that basically says, this is wrong. This is why it's wrong. Acknowledge all the people that tried to do it well, and then come up with very specific, intuitive, easy to understand explanations. Well, this is the problem. But no longer was about the human magnet syndrome. It became about a codependency revolution. I call it that because this is a revolution. I am now talking to everyone in every mental health field and saying, you got to let go of what you know because it's wrong. You have to embrace what is new. In our field, especially at the research and academic level, people are really, really stubborn.
Yes,
and
then they are.
I finished that conclusion about the inner revolution, that if you're going to finally say no to this horrible historical life problem of falling in love with narcissists, you have to make huge changes in yourself. That's going to be great upheaval. And then I talk about that. So it is going to be a revolution, and it's going to be probably my best written book. I tried this time to be less intellectual and less nerdy and more down to earth, a way of just saying it's time to change. And here's what we got.
That's amazing. When I wrote my book, Love Beyond Your Dreams, Break Free of Toxic Relationships to Have the Love You Deserve, that ended up being 6 months from the concept coming to me in meditation first and on the beach. I'm like, this would be a great book. It started out with the 19 personality types that can break your heart. Look for this while you're dating. And then the end is, what should you do for conscious dating? It's not all about chemistry, because chemistry leads you back to the dysfunction of your past. So I'm out there teaching the worst way to fall in love is by chemistry. You know, be more consciously aware about it, not just go on, oh, well, that feels good. Of course it does, because the brain likes what it knows. That's called homeostasis. So it's taking you back to the dysfunctional patterns. That's what the book is about, and the getting back out there in dating world and doing it differently. And that went to a number one bestseller under several different categories. But I remember writing the book and thinking, yes, I'm a rebel on this, because, you know, people aren't recognizing childhood trauma as a real thing, but it definitely exists. And from when I developed the childhood trauma checklist in 2012, And now it's like childhood trauma is one of the biggest buzzwords out there. Okay, so it is getting out there. And what you teach, same thing. And I love it because it's real, it's practical. Here's the problems, here's the solutions. Let's get it done and make you feel fantastic and get you back into what I call creating the life you desire and having the love that you deserve and feeling wonderful about yourself.
Yeah. And I'm feeling, it's so sweet to hear and affirming. And it feels good. Thank you for your affirmation and acknowledgement. And, you know, your stuff is also groundbreaking. So I'm so happy that you're out there doing your thing, because we might have some differences, but we're on the same path. We're talking about the same thing that I believe supports what we talk about. Remember, I said you have to take your own experience and move from that. And so we figured out a way to do that, and way to go on your successes.
Thank you. It's definitely interrelated. And that's why I wanted you on my show. So thank you for finding the time in your busy schedule. Ross, your last words of wisdom, if you would, and then tell our audience where they can find you and your organization and your books and so forth.
Two of my favorite poem snippets is one from Anais Nin. It's "The time came when remaining in a bud was more dangerous than it was." And I want anyone listening to consider that, is that you might feel safe by not changing, but you have no idea what's in store for you and how beautiful your life is, even despite the risks and consequences of changing. And then I end with George Eliot saying, "It's never too late to be who you should have been."
That's perfect.
So my website is selfloverecovery.com to contact us, and please do, for any question, comments, or I have 15 of my full-length 6-hour seminars available in audio or video, or you can book an appointment with me, because I am a psychotherapist and I have this program. So it's selfloverecovery.com, or email us at help@selfloverecovery.com.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. So that's it, love angels and transformers. We want to thank, I call him Dr. Ross. He says I'm not a doctor, but to me, he's like such an expert. Okay. So Ross Rosenberg, for joining us today and helping you to create the life you desire and to have the love that you deserve. I appreciate you sharing the love and supporting our mission of helping to change the way the world loves by sharing the show link with those you do love and care about. Please take a moment to give us a 5-star rating and a few comments on the show and what you liked and learned on this podcast. Please be sure to subscribe on my YouTube channel, Rihanna Milne, and listen to over 350 audios and videos. And please like and comment on the show so that it will be continued to be free resources for you throughout time. You can easily share each show link from my YouTube channel. Also, be sure to get my free ebook, How to Have the Love You Deserve, on my website, rihannamilne.com. And while you're there, take the 5 free love tests and download the first 60 pages of my 2 best-selling books, Love Beyond Your Dreams, Break Free of Toxic Relationships to Have the Love You Deserve, and Live Beyond Your Dreams, From Fear and Doubt to Personal Power, Purpose, and Success. And remember, if you need help, enroll today in your Life and Love Transformation Discovery Session on special now on my website, rihannamilne.com. And as always, we are here to help you to create the life you desire and have the love you deserve. Have a beautiful and a blessed day.
Do you have the mindset for success? Or are you feeling frustrated in life or your career? Or stressed you can't find love or happiness? Hi, I'm Coach Rihanna Milne, and I can help you turn your pain into your purpose and passion by using my Mindset for Success system. Learn the motivational Mindset for Success coaching system that has helped thousands of my clients over 40 years, and it can help you too. It's time to create the life you desire and to have the love you deserve.
We want to thank you for joining us on this episode of Lessons in Life and Love with Coach Rihanna Milne. Go to rihannamilne.com for more resources. And if you're really ready to take action to improve your life or love situation, apply now for a session with Rihanna. And remember, it's time to have the life you desire and the love you deserve.